This is the Magic Book Club, and I'm very excited to meet Nadia Hussein. Nice to meet you.
Hi.
In fact, though, someone who's so famous now, you only need one name.
It's still really weird to see my name on anything.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it is. It is. It really is. I can't believe it's been 2 years.
Mm.
But it's still really odd to see it. I still have to pinch myself sometimes.
So your new book is Nadia's British Food Adventure.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful book.
When I think about when I started writing it, sort of mid last year.
Right.
And here we are. It just seems like such a long time. But, you know, writing a book is a labour of love. And I do just want to stroke it sometimes. You know, you just walk past, you just want to stroke.
Yeah. Stroke. Well, it's a very lovely book. And we're getting very hungry looking at all the pictures. Also, lots of pictures of you looking wistfully out to sea.
Yes.
In wellies that aren't muddy enough.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very good at keeping those clean.
Well, you say you don't like being on the sea very much.
I'm not. That's what I learned on this adventure, was that the sea doesn't like me and I do not like it. I'll do things that scare me. And, you know, there are things I've done with the series that goes alongside the book
mm-hmm.
that I've done that have scared the life out of me. But I'll do them anyway. I'll have a try, but I'm never getting on a boat again, that's for sure. Yeah.
What else scared you?
It might seem like, I suppose it's something that, unless, I don't know, the one thing that did scare me was the fact that I had to be away from home quite a lot, and that scares me. And I got to do some of the most amazing things when we were filming the series and writing the book. But what scared me was leaving the kids. And every time I get a new challenge, I always think about, how am I going to leave my kids? And apart from being on a boat and being very unwell, that's what scared me, was being away from my kids. But it always meant tighter hugs when I got home. Mm-hmm. So,
and if it's not too much of a personal question, who holds the fort? Is it your husband?
Yeah. No, we've maintained a... From the very beginning when we got married, we always said that marriage isn't 50-50. It's somebody always gives a little bit more, because if you try and maintain 50-50, there's always an argument because somebody's always not doing enough or somebody's not doing their half. And we've always maintained that and said somebody always puts in a little bit more. And, you know, when I go away and I leave and I'm not around for 3 or 4 days, you know, he puts in a lot more because he works a full-time job. He looks after the kids. He feeds them. I say feeds them. He reheats food. He can't cook.
Right. Still?
Yeah, still can't cook. And he does everything else. He looks after the house. He looks after the kids. And I come back and I just pick up where he leaves. So, so it's always about maintaining that balance. And sometimes he puts in more and other times I put in more. But, yeah, so there's no 50-50 in our house.
It's very clear, both from your introduction to the book, what you write, but also having watched you on Bake Off and having watched you on The Chronicles of Nadia, great title, when you went back to Bangladesh to discover your culinary roots, that family is very important to you.
It is. For me, I've grown up with family, extended family around me. So, you know, like some days on a weekend, we'd have 70, 80 people at our house, and that's just extended family. I kid you not.
Right.
So I quite like quiet time. I have to say that's not what it's like in my house now. Things have changed. I think everyone's become quite insular, a little bit more anyway. But family is important. And, you know, for me, cooking, food, family, that all kind of goes hand in hand. It all works together. And, you know, I grew up in a big family and, you know, I'm first born. I'm first generation British. My parents were immigrants. And so for me, I've not only got food, I've also got, you know, that... I've got that wealth of knowledge that my parents brought over with them. So I've got a little bit of everything. So yeah. I feel a little bit spoiled.
Right. That's very generous and grateful spirit to say that you feel spoiled.
Yeah, I do. I do feel spoiled because I've got that, you know, I've got the knowledge that my parents brought over with them. And what I've learned over the years of just living, you know, just being British means I get to kind of mix and match the two. So I'm really lucky.
You say that they made sacrifices for you.
My grandparents made sacrifices, and this is the whole point of writing the book, is whenever I've written, it's always about what does it mean to me and why am I writing this? It has to be a purpose. And this genuinely has been one of the biggest adventures I've ever been on because I stayed at home the whole time. I was on an adventure, but I was at home the whole time. And my grandparents made those sacrifices. When they when they sent their children off to England, they didn't know where they were sending them and what they were sending them to. And, you know, they made those sacrifices for us to now say that we are people of the world and that we can say that we are British. And, you know, with that, I've been really lucky because I have been able to, I'm part of so many different worlds. And when I started writing the book, the one question I asked myself was, what is British food? You know, what is it? I've spent my whole life trying to work out what makes me British. And I feel like having written the book, I'm closer to answering that question. I probably never answer the question fully. Mm. But then, you know, I'm forever asking questions, so I'll never have all the answers. And that's what I learned, is that when you ask someone what is British food, there's no actual clear answer. You know, like I got pie and mash quite a lot. I was like, yeah, pie and mash, of course. But there are so many people like me who come from different backgrounds or have grandparents who have come from a different part of the world. But what's happened is what I've learned is that Britain is really inclusive and is really accepting. And actually, when I went around looking for British food, I'd noticed that there are so many little pockets of deliciousness.
Yes.
In all of England that you find, and you go in and say, that's British food, and that's what it is. And that's why writing the book was a lot easier for me than I thought it was going to be.
Because, yes, it's not pie and mash or fish and chips. And you have things like, not that lasagna is British, but you have things in there that maybe seem British, but that have added spice to them.
Yeah.
So you have, for example, a chili lasagna. You have caraway salmon, masala eggy bread.
Yes.
How are your kids? Because I've got two boys, aged 5 and 7, and I find... I love doing family meals, but I think when it's family meals, I don't add spice, and I'd love to because I love spice, but I haven't really tried them on it. What would you suggest? Do you think these recipes work with children?
Absolutely. I mean, I've never treated the kids any differently to, you know, when they were born, they ate what we ate.
You're right. You're right to do it because otherwise you make a rod for your own back.
Well, that's my parents did the same thing. We were at 6 months, you get a little taste of chili in your mouth. And it sounds like a ridiculous thing to do, but we've all done it. We get a little taste of a little bit of heat in the back of their mouth. And they're not so stunned at sort of four when they're like, Mommy, can I have
that's
a try?
It. One of them's more adventurous. I'll mention no names. One of them would just be like, yes, you serious? Just not eating this.
I think, though, when people think of spice, they think heat. Mm. And spice doesn't mean heat. Spice means fragrance, it means texture, and it means flavor. And I think you know I've got some Welsh cakes in there that I've got fennel in, and fennel is a spice,
right?
And so adding fennel, you get a fragrance, not necessarily a heat. So I think sometimes we forget that spice isn't always heat.
I don't want a comedy YouTube moment, you know, where they become internet stars because I've burnt their mouths off. That's what I don't want.
That I'd watch.
Yeah. Get a million hits just for that. Incredibly, you are a self-taught chef, though.
Yes. No, I am.
Talking of YouTube, you used to watch YouTube tutorials.
Yes. Oh, I still do. And things come in and out of trends and, you know, some things are faddy. But, you know, I think now is the generation where people don't, you know, you don't have to go to college or, you know, a specialist course. There's nothing you don't get on YouTube. My daughter is learning how to make slime on YouTube. And let me tell you, that is not fun in this house.
No,
in our house.
I'm not letting my kids do that.
No.
It'll catch on.
And you know, Mommy, can I have contact lens solution? No, you can't.
Is that why? Do I need to watch out for that question?
Just if they ask you that question, it's because they're making slime. But I think that's all the rage now. Everyone does it. And I think that's where people are learning. And, you know, I grew up in a family where my mum's an amazing cook, home cook, but she is an amazing cook. And she never wanted us to cook. She said, of all things in the world, do not cook, because I don't want you to be attached to your kitchens your whole life, cooking for everybody, and that's your job. Mm. And now I cook, and my mum's like, the one job I didn't want you to get. The one job! But my dad ran restaurants his whole life.
Yes.
And so I am all too familiar with the stainless steel kitchen. And my dad was always really, he always encouraged us to learn how to use knives, how to be confident in the kitchen. You know, I can butcher a sheep in an hour and a half.
You can.
Just saying, yeah.
Well, there's also a recipe for, is it goat curry?
Lamb, Buna.
There's a goat tagine.
Yes, there's a goat tagine.
Where am I going to get a goat from?
You can get goat, is readily available. And I think you can get goat from most supermarkets. And that's one thing when I was writing the cookbook was that when I'm writing the cookbook, I always make sure that when I put an ingredient into the book, it's available in most supermarkets, most kind of common supermarkets, and goat is available.
Okay.
But if you can't find goat, you could always use lamb.
I'm inspired. I'm definitely inspired to chilly up, to heat up the food slightly. You say, you know, when you won Bake Off, I loved watching you win. I mean, I think the whole nation was happy for you and your lovely family on screen. And when you said, I'm paraphrasing, you'll remember it better than me, but I'm not going to put limitations on myself anymore. And I'm not going to say, I can't.
Yeah, I can and I will. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I grew up in a culture where I wasn't always encouraged to do what I wanted to do. There was always that sense of being limited and not being able to do certain things. And I just, you know, when you grow up with that kind of in a box, and I spent my whole life kind of feeling like I was in a box. And I suffered with panic disorder massively, it was debilitating at points. And sometimes, you know, my husband, the first time I had a panic attack in front of him, was like, I don't quite know what's going on here, but I think she might have stopped breathing. Right. I think it was, so it was, it's quite scary. And I think it's all had a knock-on effect, but.
Do you still suffer from them?
Yeah. I've learned now that the one thing I've learned in my treating myself is that it's not going to go away. It's something that I will have for the rest of my life. But yeah. I just have to learn how to cope with it a lot better. And I say that and I do the craziest things now. Now I do everything that is outside of the box.
That's it. That's it. You're not exactly leading a quiet life.
No, and I'm testing my panic every single day. And I love that though. I love that I face it every single day and that I know that I can fight it and that I can conquer it. And I think that's what that... When I won, that was it. It was that moment when I thought, I'm not going to have those limitations anymore. I don't care what boundaries people say there are. They don't exist to me anymore because, you know, I didn't have to win to really feel that. It was only when I made it to the final 12 and I got lost in the London Underground that I realized that I'd pushed lots of boundaries even at that point, and I didn't need to win to really understand that that's what I needed to do. But it was great that I did.
And what happens when you win? Because, like, physically, what happens? I'm interested to know how much of the drive comes from you, or does a team surround you and go, right, Nadia, this is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to do this cookbook, then this cookbook. Or is it your drive that keeps it going?
Well, after Bake Off, the one thing that everyone was told was that get yourself an agent because you just never know what might happen. So I that's what I did because that's what they told me to do. And I didn't even understand what an agent was or what their job was. And so I got myself an agent and I felt really sorry for her. I said, oh, poor woman. I mean, she's meant to get me work and she's not going to get anything. It's just poor woman. She'll be twiddling her thumbs. She'll have nothing to do. And I think initially what I wanted to, I didn't even know that I wanted to do it till it was just like, oh, I think I'd love to write a cookbook. And that's kind of where it just all started. And it's a mixture of, I mean, I don't have a team. I have one agent and that's it. It's just a two-woman team. Mm. And then my husband's the cheerleader.
Right.
And that's it. There's three of us.
Yeah, no stylists, PR,
no,
the rest of it.
None of that, none of that. Just my lovely agent and my lovely husband. And I never say, even to this point, I don't say, this is what I'd like to do. It's just kind of, it all happens quite organically. Mm. And I think that's what I enjoy about it because I'm not striving for anything. And that's what I love is that it does happen naturally. And I'm a firm believer in nothing lasts forever. And I think for as long as I believe that, I'll enjoy every moment. And that's what I'm doing. I'm enjoying this moment. And for me, you know, someone told me after winning Bake Off that writing a cookbook is really easy. They were liars. That is a lie. It is not easy writing a cookbook. It is hard work. And you do have to give yourself completely. And you do, you're in a cookbook bubble.
Yes.
And that's what you do. You cook and you bake and you write and you drive yourself a little bit insane. But that's what I did. And I love that. And I love being in that crazy little bubble. And my kids get fed really well.
I was going to say, I want to be at your house when you're writing your next book.
My neighbours have a great old time.
The smell coming down your street must be incredible.
Well, they do sometimes turn me and say, look, that's enough cake for today, please. They do, that's enough. We've had enough.
And you talk about facing fears and also and pushing yourself and having adventures.
Yeah.
We know that you were asked to bake the Queen's 90th birthday cake. You were also asked to mark the 350th anniversary of the Great Fire of London with some bread construction.
Yeah.
What's the craziest thing that you have been asked to bake?
You can't really top the Queen's 90th birthday. That's really difficult to top. But I love, I did a cake for Alice in Wonderland. And I love that creative for the, it was their launch of their DVD. And I love being able to use my, I love being creative anyway. But that just, I felt like the kid in me was just exploding to come out. And that's when I get the kids involved. I'm like, guys, do you think I should do that? And how tall should I make this cake? And how high should it be? And in the end, it ended up being as tall as my daughter. Wow. It was huge. And I had to construct it while I was there. So I get asked to do all sorts of things. But you can't really top the Queen's cake. And that's like the best.
Are you still in touch with Mary Berry?
No, I'm not. Well, I don't. I see her on the kind of food circuit. So if we're doing festivals or if she's demoing, then I always get to see her. And she's lovely because she always says, look, I don't do all that social media and texting like you young folk do, but I think about you every single day. And that's really sweet. And she says, I watch you. I keep an eye on you. I make sure you're doing okay. So that's really sweet. Whenever we always have a good catch up. It's really nice.
And Mel Gedroy does a show here actually on a Saturday afternoon. Yeah. Do you see her?
I have seen her a couple of times. Again, she's done lots of interviews where we've had a chat. And I texted her the other day about her new show that she's doing on the BBC, which is great.
So, yes. Yeah. And you've got a show coming up with Zoe Ball, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I've got...
See how seamless that was?
Yeah, love that. Yeah. I have. I've got... I've got the series that goes, that ties in with the book. And then I've got, in the autumn, I think it is, they haven't decided quite yet, but Big Family Cooking Showdown, where I present with Zoe, and that was amazing. I said, so who's my co-presenter? And they said, Zoe Ball. I said, well, I can't do that because she's amazing. So that's going to be awful and I'm going to look horrible, but I can't wait to meet her. And she's just amazing. So it was such fun working with her.
I bet it was fun. Since this is a book club podcast, talking about, I don't know how much time you have for reading at the moment. Do you enjoy reading yourself?
Yes, I love reading. I love autobiographies. I just read Anna Kendrick's... Scrappy Little Nothing. Mm. And that was so funny. I laughed through the whole, I read it in a day. And now I'm on to Patrice Lawrence's Orange Boy.
Right.
Which I've just started. So yeah, I love reading. But that's the one thing that there's two things that I know I have to do to just kind of take me away from work, from life in general. And that's jogging, which I hate. I've got to do it.
Yeah. Do you listen to music when you do it?
No, I like the sound of my feet. Mm. Not my voice, just my feet. I like to hear my feet. I don't like listening to music while I'm running. And plus, I'm really clumsy, so I'll get run over if I'm distracted by music.
Yeah.
Or I will start busting some really bad 80s moves, which nobody
needs
to see.
I do that when I think no one's looking.
Nobody needs to see that.
Yeah.
That and reading. You know, those are the two things that I do. You know, I love reading a book in the bathtub. The best.
Okay. And where do you... Well, no, you've told me, in the bathtub is where you like to read. And what about reading with your children?
Yeah, that's something that I'm really scared that we're going to lose, because my son is nearly 11 and he's at that crux where I know he's kind of heading towards that 12, 13, and will he want me to not read to him anymore? And he's already said, it's okay, mummy, I can read myself. It's fine. I'll just read the... And that scares me, because I feel like the older they get, who will I read to if they don't want me to read to them anymore? But my six-year-old little girl, who I think I'll be reading to her till she's 25.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
but I can't really compete sweet. Because my husband reads her stories but plays guitar at the same time. There's some parent rivalry going on there.
Wow.
I can't compete with that.
No.
No.
That's okay, yeah. That's
evil.
You need a thing.
That's evil.
You just do it while you're cooking.
Yes. I mean, I got cake at the end of work, haven't I? So
yeah.
He doesn't have that.
No, I think you win.
Yeah.
Hands down. Thank you very much for being on the Magic Book Club podcast. Nadia, it's been lovely to meet you.
Thank you very much.
That was the Magic Book Club podcast. And if you want to hear more episodes, you can go to magic.co.uk/podcast for details of where to download it. And you can listen to me on Magic at Weekend Breakfast, Saturdays and Sundays from 6 until 10.